I was joking with Kelsey just a little while ago. I said, you told everybody it was going to be a shorter service. And I said, how do you know I'm not feeling long-winded? And I'm not. Rest assured, I am not feeling long-winded. But I'll do my very best to be mindful of the time. In fact, I really only got a page of notes, so it shouldn't be too long. But I do want to go ahead and read a verse found in the book of Luke. If we could all stand in honor of the word of the Lord. It's found in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. I just want to talk to you very briefly tonight. The title of my message is very simple. It is 12 minutes. 12 minutes. Look at your neighbor and say, do you got 12 minutes? You may be seated. Now, my sermon's going to be a lot longer than 12 minutes. So don't fall for the title, okay? I am not on a 12-minute time crunch here. But, you know, there's a lot of amazing things that we have found in Scripture. A great verse that I love, it says that we are to enter into His gates with thanksgiving, enter into His courts with praise. It shouldn't be hard, if you've been serving God for any length of time, to be thankful. And in fact, that's pretty much should be a given. Just having a heart of gratitude, being thankful. We're getting ready to start in a week from today, passing gifts and gift exchange. And you imagine sacrificing all year to give your son or daughter, a loved one, an amazing gift. And they just take that gift and never once offer a thank you, never once give you some sort of gratitude for the sacrifice that you have done to be able to provide this amazing gift. Serving God, He gives us gifts every single day. In fact, every second of every day that you live is a gift from God. If you've got strength in your body, if you've got sanity in your mind, if you have been redeemed and restored by the blood of the Lamb, you have been given a gift that is beyond measure. And we should never go through life without being thankful. It's the very beginning of all of this. You can't even get in the gate without being thankful. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but enter into His courts with praise. Notice there's a progression. Being thankful gets you into the gate. But you can't stay at Thanksgiving. You've got to go into His courts with praise. And why do we do what we do here? Why did we just go through these two songs? And Kelsey and the team, you guys did a great job tonight. But why do we do what we do? Because praise is powerful. Do you know you can actually praise God with an instrument? It's found in the Psalms. We know that in the Psalms, you can praise God with instruments. That's why we've got them up here. In fact, it's so powerful. Think about this. Saul in the Old Testament, he was vexed by a devil. And you've got a man by the name of David. And David, all he did was start plucking on a harp. And just the sound from an instrument was more powerful than the demon that was plaguing Saul. It's an amazing thing that God has given us, the ability to create sound, okay? It's such an amazing thing. It can be good, used for good or evil. In fact, when you think about it, there's instances where the CIA itself has released, not to get too weird on you, some torture techniques where they tune into a certain frequency, and they play certain types of music, and they'll overlap one or two songs together, and they'll play it at a loud volume. And that frequency and that noise and that music over time will actually drive somebody to be insane. So if it can be used for that type of negative influence, Imagine what it's doing here. Just the plucking of a string starts shifting the atmosphere. Why? Because the word says in Psalm 22 that God inhabits the praises of his people. That's why we do what we do. You ever notice that miracle opportunities is always during the praise portion of the service? Because without God showing up, we can't do anything. But with him, all things are possible. We have to have that praise in our life, because when we praise, God shows up to you and I. But there's something called worship, and worship is completely different than praise. In fact, we call this praise and worship service, you know, portion of our service. Truth be told, I'm not so sure how much we actually enter into worship during our praise and worship service. I'll explain. Praise is based on what God has done for you. We're singing about how great he is. We're praying about how great he is, how amazing it is to serve him. God can't resist that, okay? My wife starts after tonight. She's going to tell me. I always get an honest report. I say, well, how was it? How did I preach? Was it okay? Was it understandable? And I just don't think she can lie to me. She always tells me, you did a good job, babe. I think it was great. Before I leave the house, man, you look handsome tonight. I kind of like that, right? That's what we're doing with the Lord. Lord, there's nobody like you. You're amazing. Nobody can do what you can do. God likes that. And that's what causes him to show up. Worship is different. It has nothing to do with what God's done for us. Nothing at all. Because if worship is based upon what God has done for you, then that means it's hard to worship in a bad season. It's hard to worship in a storm or in a tough time. Okay? Worship isn't based on what God's done. Worship is based on who he is. He's the Lord God Almighty. He always reigns. He's always good. He's always faithful. He is love. He is hope. He is joy. He is our Redeemer. When you get that understanding of what worship really is, it changes everything. There's a progression in the Old Testament where, you know, a lot of times, you know, a couple times a year, we'll do prayer through the tabernacle. Okay? And for those of you who don't know, there's an Old Testament tabernacle. It was a process that God established to get into his presence to where there could be forgiveness for the sins of the nation. Okay? And that process began at the altar. Something had to die. And then you go to a laver and then you get washed. And then you go into the holy place. And then there's a candlestick, table of showbread, altar of incense. But then, after you've made your way through that progression, the priest, there's a veil that separates a room. It's called the Holy of Holies. And that priest had to put his face in the dirt to crawl underneath that veil, enter into this room. He's alone. Worship is most likely, usually, something you do when you're alone. If you're in another room with people, you're isolated. Okay? It's something magical that happens. You're not asking for anything. You're not thanking God for anything. You just want to be with him. You just want to love him and have him love you. And those times of worship are sincere and pure because they're based upon what God is worth to you. Worship, that's what it is. Worthship. What is God worth to you? I want people to look at me and say, he must really value the Lord. Because the worth is immeasurable to me. Worship will take you to another place. I remember when God filled me with the Holy Ghost right here. It was like I lost track of time. It sounds so weird. I was here in my body, but I was somewhere else. And I remember crossing over a bridge, you know, like you see that, you know, old wooden bridge with stones on the side and a river running under the bridge. I just crossed over a bridge. I was 12 years old. I still remember it right there. There was a time in worship. I was right over here, right by that tissue box. We were singing Reckless Love by Corey Asbury. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was such a supernatural experience. And I was just feeling the love of God that he had. And time slipped away. And if you've ever been under anesthesia, you ever gone under for surgery, when you kind of come to, you got to get your bearings, right? Where exactly am I at right now? I got lost over there a few years ago. Worship is different than praise. It's interesting to me when I study the beginning of humanity, the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God is creating humanity. And he says, let us make man in our image, and unto them give dominion. Why didn't he say, unto us give dominion? It's so crazy to me. You study that original word, human. That's what we all are, human beings, right? Human comes from two words, humus and man. Human. Humus means dirt. Man in the Hebrew can be translated into spirit. The spirit man. Spirit in dirt. Think about it. God created spirit. Pastor Hoffman taught us for years that your body doesn't have a spirit. Your spirit has a body. The word says spirit, soul, body. The real you will never show up on an MRI. This is just a temporary dwelling place that you and I are in. And when God created humanity, he created the spirit you first, and then formed a shell out of dirt. And that's what human means, a spirit in dirt. And that's who God decided, we're going to give them dominion. Humanity has dominion on the earth. And by extending or authorizing you and I to have dominion on the earth, what God has essentially done is limited himself. Have you ever wondered why? Think of the Old Testament. Israel, the cries of Israel have come up before God. And God says, hey, I'm here. I've heard your cries. And he's talking to Moses. Can you imagine being Moses? So, well, you're Adonai, you're the great I am. It was like, what do you need me for? I've given you dominion. I'm not going to do anything on the earth unless it's through a human being. Because God is not a man that he should lie. He is the truth. And because he's the one who said, I've given you dominion on the earth, God will use you to accomplish his will. He will never operate outside of humanity. Then he would be violating his own word. If he violates his own word, the whole thing's a lie. The whole thing's a mess. So God chose people. He chose the simple things. He chose the foolish things. He chose the weak things to confound the strong and the wise. That's you and I. Thank God he still wants to work through you and I to save and redeem a world that is lost. We think about this. The disciples spent 3.5 years with Jesus Christ. They saw him walk on water and bring Pete out of the boat with him. They saw him take some dirt, spit in it, heal some blind eyes, unlock deaf ears, the lame coming out of their beds, throwing their wheelchairs aside. They saw the dead raised to life. It blows my mind to think that these men were arm in arm with Jesus Christ himself, seeing everything that he did. But there's only one thing that they ever asked him to teach them. Just one. It's in the verse we read. Teach us to pray. Now, I know me. Teach me that trick where I can walk on the water. Because it'd be really cool to not take a boat next time. Teach me that. I'll go. Well, let's go by the graveyard. Let's get all those people out of the tombs. Not the disciples. Why? Why did they ask him? The only thing they ever asked him to teach us how to pray. I think they made a connection. I think they saw something. There are verse after verse that I can come up with. Jesus rose early in the morning to pray. Jesus went up into the mountain to pray. Jesus went into the hills to pray. There's one verse, sorry, non-early birds. It says, Jesus rose early in the morning before the sun came up to pray. I think they saw him pray an awful lot. I think it was a daily routine of Jesus Christ to get up early in the morning, spend time in prayer. And after he prayed in the mornings, then they go minister. Then they go into town. And casting out demons wasn't hard for him. Healing blind eyes wasn't a challenge. Raising the dead wasn't hard. Because prayer is what connects you and aligns you with the will of God. Without prayer, what are we doing? It's such an amazing thing to think about that Jesus spent time in prayer, then went and ministered. See, we want to spend a little bit of time in prayer, but we want the signs, wonders, and miracles. Prayer is an investment into your day. Prayer prepares you for what lies ahead. And if we're not careful, First Church, we can get so caught up in the praise and the worship on a Sunday or a Wednesday service. We can fall in love with what we feel in this room. And it's a cheap substitute for what happens Monday through Saturday. We can never afford to lose the value of prayer in our own life. Because you know what I can't find in the Bible? I can't find Jesus ever having a prayer meeting with his disciples. Because prayer is personal. Prayer is relational. That's why it says get a prayer closet. Go do that in secret. What you do in secret, God will reward you in openly. Okay? We've got to make sure that we are men and women of prayer. I love our Monday night prayer meeting. But don't let that replace your own personal consecrated prayer life. If we don't have prayer, we don't have anything. If you want to go perfect your praise, perfect your prayer. If you want to go higher in worship, go deeper in prayer. If you want to see signs, wonders, and miracles, spend more time in prayer. Be consistent in your prayer life. There's an amazing, amazing new field of science, relatively new, a few years old. It's something called neurotheology. Anybody ever heard of neurotheology? Neurologists. It's the study of God on the brain. Okay? It's amazing. What they have found is, when you spend time in prayer, focused prayer, the prefrontal cortex of your brain, it's the part that's right here, right up front, it becomes activated. There's increased blood flow, which means that part of your brain requires more oxygen. That's why there's increased blood flow, and it's very active. Now, the prefrontal cortex, listen to this, it's responsible for decision making, memory, adapting to change, regulating your thoughts, emotions, and actions. It's the receiving part of your brain. That when you discipline your mind and focus on God in prayer, something happens in your mind. It begins to change. In fact, they've studied the effects of stress and anxiety, depression. The chemicals, when you're feeling stressed out or anxiety, guess what? Your brain is releasing chemicals, norepinephrine, cortisol, harmful chemicals to your brain. Here's the real dangerous part. Your brain, over time, begins to carve new pathways into your mind to where now you're more susceptible to anxiety. You're more susceptible to stress and depression. But if you would spend time in prayer, what they found, this is the medical community, what the medical community has found, if you will spend 12 minutes a day in focused prayer for 8 weeks, those pathways that have been crossed in your mind from the stress and anxiety, God is repairing that over the 8 weeks. And in 8 weeks' time, your brain becomes back to what it used to be. Prayer can literally change your brain to where it can be measured scientifically. Prayer is essential. Prayer is vital to what we're doing here in Sterling Heights. Why am I talking about this? This is essential. We can never afford to lose our prayer. I'm all for praise. I'm all for worship. I'm all for study of the word. I'm all for what we do on a Sunday, what we do on a Monday. We can't ever lose what we do in our homes. And I'm preaching to me just as much as I'm preaching to you. We're at the end of this year. We got a few weeks left. A challenge to all of us. How are we going to finish? How are we going to finish this year? Full transparency, this is one of the most carnal, maybe a harsh word, but I eat too much this time of year. I'm too given in to sweets and to snacks and to this party and that party, and I want a present, and it's a little bit hard to be consistent with a prayer routine this time of year. We can't afford that. There is a church that is here right now trying to reach this community. We've got to be disciplined in our prayer lives because everything flows out of prayer life. Everything. We're going to be doing our 21 days. 21 days of prayer and fasting. You know what happened in the Bible? There was a man brought his kid to the disciples, Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. They come down, they say, hey, your disciples couldn't cast out this demon. You know what he says? How long have I been with you? Oh, ye of little faith. You haven't figured this out yet. And what's he say? Some things only go out through prayer and fasting. When you couple prayer and fasting together, now you've got a recipe for anything that God wants to do. We have torn down our will, and we have aligned and positioned ourselves to the perfect will of the Almighty God. So, we got a couple weeks. Please, please, don't wait till January 5th. That's when we'll be starting our fast. Please don't wait till January 5th to try to figure out what type of fast you want to do. I'll even change what I just said. Don't try to figure out what you want to do. We've got 2 weeks. Let's pray. God, what fast do you want me to do? Is there something you're asking of me? Because if I'm left to my own decision, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick what's easiest for me. I'm going to pick what I know I can probably handle without too much trouble. We cannot afford to do that, ladies and gentlemen. There's something so amazing that Josh Blasek sent me a few weeks ago about fasting. You remember in the Old Testament when they made sacrifices? And the Bible is very specific. God wants it his way, very certain way. He says, you remove this, you discard that, you keep that. But one of the things that he said, keep the fat of the kidney and the cull of the liver. That's mine. Burn it up to me. Because back then, I don't have time to get into ketosis and metabolic, you know, how you burn fat. But that fat was the choice part of the animal. It's what they desired. imagine offering unto God what you didn't want. They had to offer unto God the choice part of the animal and burn that fat unto him. And when they did, in Leviticus it says, that was a sweet savor. It was a sweet savor offering unto the Lord when that fat got burned. When we, I believe fasting is a New Testament offering because it's a sacrifice. It's a big sacrifice. And when we fast and we're not consuming food, your body shifts into ketosis and starts burning what? That's a sweet savor. When you're willing to sacrifice and discipline your body to burn fat because you hunger and thirst after him, that's a sweet savor. That Old Testament, it happened in the temple once the temple was built. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? We've got an amazing opportunity presented to you and I. Let's pray. Let's fast. And let's watch the hand of God influence and change this church forever. Why don't we stand? Why don't we stand? Lord, I thank you, God, for the power of your word. I thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you have allowed us. You could have been a God that we didn't have access to. You could have been hard to approach. You could have put barriers between us. But my God, you said that if I would seek you, I would find you. God, you said that if I would draw nigh to you, you would draw nigh to me. Thank you, Lord, for the honor and the privilege to pray, to call upon you, to be relational with you. Thank you for the season that we are in this church. My God, you have put your favor and you have put your blessing upon it. But God, I'm not foolish enough to think that if we ever lose the value of prayer, you could pick up your stuff and you could go find a church that's willing to pray. It wouldn't be hard for you. What's hard for you? But God, if we are prayerful, if we are turning from our wicked ways, you promised that you would hear and that you would heal. We thank you, Lord. We're going to do our part. And we'll be believing and expecting that you will do what you've always done. You're going to do your part. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you so much for being in church on a Wednesday night. Go home and pray. Set time aside and pray. Hopefully you've been inspired. Faith without works is dead. Inspiration without application is dead. Don't leave with inspiration and not apply it to your life. Let's grow. Let's grow. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful night.